All right, good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Glad you're joining us online as we continue our journey into the Sermon on the Mount, particularly Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're spending our time this fall, kind of working at and going through. We encourage you to read through it, read through the whole thing if you'd like to know where we've been and where we're going at some point, but you can know exactly where we'll be if you want to read through chapter 6 and kind of follow along with us. Last week was all about forgiveness. Jesus' kingdom is where forgiveness flows from the throne to all who enter. Jesus is all about forgiveness. There's only forgiveness because of what he has done for us. It's so important for us to remember. Now, remember, this is all about, this first part of Matthew 6, is all about the righteous acts. What are the righteous acts that are about the kingdom? Because remember, you don't do righteous acts to get into the kingdom. You do righteous acts when you're in the kingdom. Jesus invites us into his kingdom. He died for us, rose again, and invites us to be a part of that. So he says, I'm providing the way into my kingdom. It's not righteous acts to get in. No, if you didn't do righteous acts before coming into the kingdom, they're filthy rags. I mean, right? They're things you throw out. When you do them in the kingdom, they are glory and honor to the king, who the kingdom's all about. It's just amazing how that works. When you put Jesus first, salvation first, and then everything else flows from the heart of what Jesus has done for us. So, we are continuing on, and forever who wrote it, don't know who did, all anonymous, but this is also the final You Asked For It week too, okay? We're just going to do everything this morning, but there was one this summer that I said, hold on and wait, because we're going to come to it in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to cover it as fully as I can that Sunday and talk about it. So whoever you are, whether you're watching online, whether you're in the room, this is your Sunday too. We're just going to do everything together, because when we need to talk about when you fast. I also think it's the perfect Sunday, and only those in the room are going to get this, but it's a perfect Sunday if you're in the room to know we have cookies and stuff in the back, because you might as well be eating when we're talking about fasting. I mean, you just might as well, right? Just perfect. It's to go together just like that. Fasting's not something we talk about very often. Probably most of in the room have only done it maybe a couple times in our lives, if we've ever done it at all. So I want to make sure that we understand it, because Jesus says when you fast, not if. When? He's just assuming it is going to be part of people in the kingdom. It's going to be part of their life, this idea of fasting. So I'm going to give you a very strict, so I want to make sure you understand this, a very strict biblical definition. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what else we can do when we're talking about this idea of fasting. But like, I'm just telling you, some of the things that we look at that we can fast from, that we'll talk about at the end, they didn't have in the ancient world. It was very, very simple. To abstain from food for a period of time for the pursuing of God. I mean, it's really simple. And you're going to see, and I want to show you throughout Scripture, and I'm not going to even hit all of them. I just want you to see some of the places where people fast. They abstain from food for the period of time for the pursuing of God. That's why they did what they did. That's why they stopped. That's why they didn't eat. Okay, it wasn't, hey guys, we need to drop some weight this week, so let's just stop eating. No, it wasn't about that. I realize in our world we have all this intermittent fasting stuff that's like hip and cool, and of course I fast, right? I'm on this plan. That's not what it's about. We're talking about the abstaining from food, scripture-wise, for a period of time of pursuing of God. Okay? First one is for the mourning of the dead. Do you know when Saul died? When Saul died and Jonathan, his son, died, they fasted. Okay? One of the ways they mourned and went through this season of mourning someone in their life who had died was fasting. They stopped eating. Isn't it interesting? I'm just going to throw a little commentary in here. Isn't it interesting? We like to do the opposite. We do the opposites. I'm serious. It's totally the opposite. And maybe you've experienced in a room like I have, where somebody in your family has died, and everybody in the church is like, we got to bake a casserole, right? And your refrigerator's full. Like, if I wanted to fast, I guess I'm going to waste a lot of food. And then you feel guilty because people in Africa are starving. That's the way it goes, right? Everybody brings food because we're like, how do I help them? So it's like we do the total opposite, because we're just like, man, I want to help people. I want to be there. So I want you to know that when they mourned, a lot of times it was done with fasting. They just stopped eating for a period of time to remember, to pray, to pursue God, to ask God to be close to the brokenhearted. That's part of the book of Psalms. It's done for repentance, and you can read this in several different places. This is one in 1 Samuel. You need to repent. And in repenting, you are going to fast as you pursue God because you have sinned, you have left his path, you are going your own way, and you need a total change, changing your mind, heart, direction of your life. And so you're going to fast and you're going to pursue God and say, God, I have sinned. I have fallen. It's got to be different now. And in a season of repentance, there are times when there is fasting. You are abstaining from food because you are pursuing God in the fact that you have sinned and you want his forgiveness and restoration in your life. And number three, in a desperate situation, I gave you two. One is the book of Esther. When Esther finds out what is going on, the plot has been laid out. She has found out about it. She is now queen at this point. She knows what Haman's going to do. And Mordecai comes to her and basically, right, kind of nudges her, okay, encourages her. Esther, you're the queen. Who knows that God put you in this place at this time and in that position so you could act? And so she says what? Well, we're going to fast. Mordecai, you get people together and you fast, and I'm going to get my attendants together and fast. It might not have been something that took place. Can you imagine Esther? You know, she's got these people. They have no idea who this God is. Why are we doing what? Nope, you're the queen. We're going to do what you've asked us to do. So in a desperate situation where she needed God to show up because she then had to go in and present herself to the king, and it was either the king accepts you or the king kills you, okay? It's really simple. And so she, in a desperate situation, was fasting. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is where David has sinned with Bathsheba. He has then made sure that her husband is out of the way. He is dead. And Nathan the prophet is sent to him to tell him, you're sinned. God knows what you've done, and it's time to repent. And by the way, there are consequences for what you have done. Bathsheba's pregnant. You are going to lose that child. And David fasts, and he pleads with God. God, please don't. Please don't. And he does up to the day that he finds out the child dies. So he does not fast because he's mourning. He fasts because he is desperately seeking that God would do something different. He is in a desperate situation, and he abstains because he is pursuing God in those moments. Number four, in the seeking of God's will. In Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch is gathered. It talks about all the different people who are there, two by the which are Barnabas and Saul. It's the last place that Saul is actually used. Then we all start recognizing him as Paul, and in every other place is Paul. And that is when they send them off. They set them apart. They send them off to start their missionary journeys. If that time of fasting and prayer doesn't happen, the New Testament is not what it's not anything. You don't have all these letters. You don't have all these churches. They are seeking God's will. God, what would you have us to do as a church in Antioch? Okay, the church in Jerusalem is doing certain things. What would you have us to do as a church? They are seeking God's will, and God says, ha, those two guys, send them out. Send them out. Let them plant churches all across the Mediterranean rim, and let's see how many people will come and have a relationship with me and know me and repent, and let's see what God does in the middle of it. So it was amazing. It was the seeking of God's will. That's why they were doing that. So again, Jesus is again assuming that we will be fasting. So I had to ask a question this week. You would think I would learn by now. Dan has tried to teach me over and over again. Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. You'd think I'd learn. So I start asking the question. So why? And I just included all of us because I just might as well include all of us, right? Why don't I fast? Why don't we fast? I mean, if you just stop for a moment, think, when's the last time you fast? You might say never. You might say 20 years, right? 10 years. I don't know. But it just begs a question. Why don't we? Why don't we fast? Why don't we feel that there are times in our lives that we need to pursue God in such a way that we should stop, we should abstain in order to pursue him more for something that's happening, going on, taking place in our lives? It's just an interesting question that we should think about before we dive into Jesus' words here that he has to say about the subject of fasting. So, here we go. When you fast, do not look sullen like the hypocrites. Remember, they are actors. For they make their faces unattractive so that people will see them fasting. Okay? So they do things so that there is no doubt you know what they're doing. Okay? You are unashamed. You don't know, I know what they're doing. They're fasting. Okay? They got the whole look. They got everything. You can just tell something's going on with them. Don't be like the actors. Remember, we've talked about this over and over again, whether it was prayer, whether it was giving. You don't need to be an actor. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do the right expression. Come on, right? All those people, they knew how to do the right expression at the right time, right? And they've had all this training and all these actor schools. And he's like, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. You don't have to make sure anybody else knows what you're doing. In fact, he says this, I tell you the truth, they have their reward. We've talked about this every time. They have the reward. They got what they really wanted. Everybody looked and said, oh, fasting. They must be a really spiritual person. They must be pursuing God. In Luke, Jesus tells a story about two men who go up to pray one day. One of them is a Pharisee. One of them, he just calls him a sinner, a publican, right? He just names him this name that is synonymous with, this is just a guy who just doesn't follow God. His life is full of rebellion, right? And he says, they come up to pray. And the Pharisee, and he includes this in the prayer the Pharisee prays, I fast twice a week. I'm like, wow, man, there's a spiritual person, right? He's taking 2 days a week, and he is pursuing God in such a way that he is not eating. Because Jesus is just making sure you understand, they're all after this, they are all doing this, okay? Why? Because they want to be seen by people for what they're doing. They want people to look at him and say, wow, that's a spiritual person. That's an impressive person. Wow. And he's like, no, I don't want you to do that. So when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now, we might look at this and go, what? What? Does that mean take a shower? Yeah, okay. Right? Yes. So if you go back to one of the stories we talked about this morning, David, it says that when David learned from the people, because he could see the servants in the castle, right? They're talking, something's up. And so he knows the child has died, and they're scared to death. I mean, this guy is fasting. He is crying out, okay? You can tell David is in utter pain asking for God to spare this son of his. And they're worried. Well, what are we going to do? So they try to hide from him the fact that the child's dead. But when he finds out, they are really shocked by what he does. He stops fasting. It says he anoints himself. He washes up. And he goes and he worships God. And they're like, what? Wait a minute, I thought you were mourning. No. I did what I could while the child was alive. And he makes the statements. And so that's just a part of their ritual, okay? The things that they did daily, okay? So they're not doing these things so, again, everybody will know. He's like, you have to do that. I know people did that. But what happens is those practices are being done so that you can be seen. And this is not about being seen. This is about you pursuing your Heavenly Father because of something that is going on and happening in your life. So I want to make sure you're doing that. Don't do things to be seen. Do things for your Heavenly Father. So that it will not be what? Obvious to others when you are fasting, but only to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He will answer. He will work. He will move. And even though David did not get the answer he wanted, you understand, he heard from God. Okay. And then he continues to go up and he worships him. So if you fast for a show, you've gotten the reward you really wanted. You've gotten the reward you really wanted. If everybody else knows what you're doing, right? If you went on Facebook and said, it's fast day, okay, I'm pursuing God, and I want everybody to know, okay? I want everybody to know, and look at this, and look what I've done, and you might want to be around me because I'm not taking a shower for 5 days, or whatever it is, okay? Right, because you want everybody to know. Well, then you've got the reward you really want. You really don't want God to work. You're really not interested in God answering you. You're interested in people looking at you and somehow making an assessment about your spirituality. So, why should we fast? Do you know Jesus says something later that I want to talk about for a moment, that Jesus alludes to something that happened with his disciples? You find this in Matthew chapter 9 and in two verses. And he's approached and he's asked a question. And it's all about fasting. And I want you to see what he says, because this is the language we've been using, this kingdom language of why Jesus is talking about fasting, inviting us to fast, and urging us that could be a part of our life and pursuing him. So here we go. Then John's disciples, who are John's disciples? John the Baptist. Yep, John the Baptizer. He had disciples. Some of his disciples, and you can read this in the book of John, became Jesus' disciples, okay? They started following Jesus. And some were like, no, I am solid, right? I'm for John, right? Some of them just kept on. So they came. And we don't know when this was. We know John the Baptist was at least in prison at this point. Okay? Might have been dead at this point. We don't know. Okay? But somewhere in the timeline, he's at least in prison. So his disciples come to Jesus and they ask this question. Why do we, the disciples of John, the people who are following John the Baptizer, and includes who? The Pharisees, because we all know they did it. And the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast. That's really interesting. So Jesus talks about fasting, and they're going, yeah, but wait a minute, your disciples don't fast. Why is that? And I want you to see his explanation. Jesus said to them, the wedding guests cannot mourn while the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days are coming when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. Do you see? All he's doing is using some kingdom language here, okay? And I want to invite you into that language, okay? Remember what we've called this. This is the kingdom of God. This is the already, and it's the not yet, right? And the reasons, and I want you to see this, the reason we fast is for the not yet. It's for the not yet. You know why we mourn, repent, cry out in desperation, and seek God's will? Because it's the not yet. It's the not yet. Because when God's kingdom comes, what are we told? Hey, there is no death. There is no death. There's no need to repent. Sin is dealt with finally and wholly. Why would you cry out in desperation? You are in the city of God, okay? God is there. He is your light, okay? Why do you need to seek God's will? That is what we spend the rest of eternity doing, okay? So all the things that we do are because it is the not yet. And that is the kingdom language he's using. Listen, we're in the not yet. That means we live, and I know you get tired of this, we live in a broken, fallen world. And in a broken, fallen world, you know what you have to do? You have to go to cemeteries. In a broken, fallen world, you leave the path of God, and you sin, and you break his commands. In a broken, fallen world, there's just things that happen. There are absolute tragedies that happen. They don't happen because God is absent or distant or wasn't there or he's dealing with things in another part of the globe. It is because we live in the not yet. That we live in a world where we cry out in desperation because of things that happen in our life and under tragedy. And why we seek God's will? Because sometimes we're just trying to know, what do I do? What is the next step for me? What do you want me to do? How can I live? How can I please you? What's the next move for me in my work? What's the next move for me in my life? What is the next thing that you have for me? We do that because we're doing what? Because we live in the not yet. The hardest thing is we live in the not yet. We read all about Jesus' kingdom. We learn about it. It's like, this is awesome, and we can't wait. Except right now we live in the not yet. And so we're going to have to deal with things in the not yet. And Jesus invites us. Yeah, but there are times. There are times you can abstain, and those are moments you can pursue me. Now, let me answer a couple of the questions. Because they're probably it. What if I'm medically unable to eat? I'm not supposed to because of medications I eat or something, right? Your doctor would be the first one calling me up, okay? What are you doing, okay? What are you doing? Right on their pill bottle, it says, you must take this with food, okay? So I understand that. There are situations and things. There are also, you might be asking this question, can I fast things other than food, which go hand in hand? Can I do that? Well, I want to give you a verse, and I want to put this kind of together for us, that we would just get a little bit of clarity on this issue, if we could. When Jesus is fasting 40 days and 40 nights, by the way, only three people ever did that in Scripture, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Okay? So, there we go. 40 days, 40 nights. Jesus is in the wilderness. He is fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Satan comes up to him. What does he think? It's the first thing he says to him, right? After 40 days, you think you're going to be hungry? Absolutely. Okay? And this is Jesus' answer when Satan comes and says, you're the Son of God. See that stone? Just make it bread. And you could make it really, really good bread. Okay? Just do that. Just come on, Jesus. Nobody else is around. Nobody else is looking. Nobody else is watching. Just satisfy that appetite. And Jesus reaches back because the only thing you can do when the enemy comes is to know the word. This is what Jesus taught us, okay? He knows the word. This is a quote from the Old Testament. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yeah, I know you think that'd be really important, and that'd probably be really good right now because it's been a long 40 days, but that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's not what I live on, and that's not what I'm desperate for, and that's not what I'm pursuing. So, may I offer a suggestion, okay, that this idea of man does not live by bread alone. What can you fill in the blank that you can't seem to live without? Just fill in the blank with something. And I can have all sorts of fun listening stuff today, right? Man does not live by phone alone. That even sounds good, right? By social media alone, right? Caffeine, sugar. Can we throw in all sorts of stuff and just make everybody feel guilty? I mean, that's the way it goes, right? What could you fill in that blank with? And say, and again, it's not, I'm extra spiritual this week. I'm not on social media, okay? While that may be true, that's not for anybody else to know. It's not that you just are stopping. Well, I have to stop being on social media. It's not that you're doing that. You got to get both pieces here. You are stopping something so you can start something else. The stopping of the one thing is to start pursuing God. It isn't I'm just not on Facebook. I am pursuing God for fill in the blank. Because that's what you're doing. I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this. I need time to pursue. I need to pursue him in this area. And I need to pursue what he wants me to do in this. So I am not going to do this over here for whatever period of time you come up with. There is no magical number. Please do not think this is somehow magic. Hey, if I just fast, God will do whatever I want. That's not what it's about. Because if it was, David's boy would have lived. So it's not getting God to do it. It is pursuing God to know his will and what he desires and he wants. So I'm going to stop something here so I can start something here. That's what we're talking about. That's the whole purpose behind this whole idea and concept behind fasting. I stop something so I can start something. So you might have situations in your life where you need to do this. I'm going to give you a couple months to think about this, okay? So in January 15th to January 28th of next year, I am going to ask you to do just that. And I don't know what this is. You don't have to tell me what this is. You don't have to tell me you're doing it or not doing it. That is up to you. I'm asking you to give up something from January 15th to January 28th, okay? Listen, it's not the Super Bowl time, so some of you won't be upset at me, okay? For 14 days, you decide what that is, okay? May I also offer this? Husbands and wife, you probably should talk about this. Because if you are pulling the plug on the TV, you probably should tell your spouse that, okay? Because they're like, I didn't want this, okay? So please make sure you communicate and you talk about that, okay? That's what I'm going to ask you to do for that period. For why? Because I'm asking you specifically for our church that we would seek God's will for those 14 days. Don't ask. One of the biggest mistakes we make is to think all the ideas come from one place and it's me. That if you think that, you're wrong, okay? And I know we run into this because some people are like, oh, because some people tell me an idea. I'm like, I really like that. We ought to do that. And so I tell somebody, hey, so-and-so's got a great idea, and then they become, oh, no. Don't tell them it was me. Then they'll get mad at me. I want them to get mad at you when it goes wrong, okay? Because we've done that. We've worked in such a thing that all ideas must flow from it. No. Because so often, I can't begin to tell you how many things we do that have nothing to do with it was any idea of mine. But you've been praying about it. You've been seeking about it. You saw this thing, and God was moving in you, and you said, I think this would be great. And you know what why I need to make sure people know it didn't come from me? Because I need them to understand how we work as a body, how we operate. So that's why we're doing it. Because I'm asking you to seek God's will for our church. Okay? What does Jesus want to do in his church? What are you seeking about during that time? Up till then, you might want to take your own time. Okay? Why is that so far out? Because I want you time to think about it. I also realize there might be some things going on in your life where you need to stop something here because you need to pursue God here about something that's happening in your life. Please do that. I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you, stop this so you can start this and the pursuing of God. We fast as we humble ourselves and long for the King and the kingdom. I don't know when it started, but for some reason humility is just not a high virtue thing, especially in churches. Just telling you that. It's not something we go, yeah, I want to learn humility today, right? We all think we got to be more confident, more bold, more, and all of that, we miss this idea of, do you understand why you fast? You're humbling yourself. And you're saying, I'm getting rid of this because I need this so desperately in my life. And I'm willing to set aside my arrogance, my pretense, and everything else for the pursuing of God and what he desires. So, as we pray this morning, we're going to ask God just that. Is this something I need to put into my life now? Because there's something I should give up because I need to start this for the period of time of pursuing God to see what God would do in a situation in my own life, in what is happening to me. And then I'm going to encourage you I know nobody wants to think about January, but what is something you would give up for 14 days? Again, not just give it up, because you're going to pursue God on behalf of the church he is building here, Jesus is building here, that you are a part of and that you belong to, and that you're going to seek God with us, that God would work and God would move. So let's pray, and we're going to ask God to help us to be humble as we seek him. The prayer team will be over to the side as we sing as normal, and you can pray with them about anything that's going on. You can do that during the service or after as well. Dear Heavenly Father, if we would have a moment of honesty, most of us just don't fast. We don't think about it. But there's probably many of us who need to. We have a big decision coming up. We have a desperate situation going on. Some might be mourning. Some might be just desiring more of you. Would you help us So we live in this kingdom of not yet. To have times where we set things aside to pursue you even more, that you would work and move and show us your will. Not that this is a gimmick or something to get what we want, but this would all be about pursuing you and knowing you more. So as Jesus, we lift our voices to you now. We thank you. We look forward to the kingdom of the not yet. But help us right now. because this not yet is hard. And we're longing for when you come. And all dominion and authority you have. And all the things that we'd fast for, we never have to anymore. We are with the King who is in control and has authority over everything. So as we worship you now, Jesus, remind us of that. Give us courage in this not yet. As we look forward to your kingdom coming. In Jesus' name.